Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Trusting God, Bible Bits from Philippians. In this session, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, Making Treasures. A sculptor takes a block of stone and by chipping away, frees its potential. Listen, God is in the business of shaping rocks into treasures. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Each one of us is essentially a diamond in the rough. The Lord makes us into a thing of beauty. He chooses for his glory and for his purpose. This is what our text is about for this session. If you haven't turned there, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to read down to verse 11 and see two things in the passage. Let's read our text beginning at verse 3 of Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. First, it's guaranteed. God will finish the sculpture. That verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Second, God has a goal for the sculpture. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. The goals? Gain knowledge and discernment. Focus on excellence. Grow in sincerity and holiness. And produce fruits of righteousness. Why? For the glory and praise of God. Someone said, like a sculptor, God changes us into the image of Christ by simply chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. But how does God do it? Well, verse 9, that your love may abound. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 down to verse 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What are the steps God uses to chip away? Well, tribulation, perseverance, character, and hope. And what is critical? Well, verse 5, the love of God. God is more interested in developing character in our lives than protecting us from suffering. We take care of things valuable to us. God takes care of things valuable as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, down to verse 21. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us who were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in faith, in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope are in God. Are we valuable to God? He wants us to be like his son, Jesus. So how does God do his sculpting work? Through his established authority structures. Obedience. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. This is his education system. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then if you go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle also talks about authority. In 1 Peter 2 verses 13 to 17, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Well, this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Jesus Christ himself developed in this school system. The Lord himself developed in this school system. Do we consider ourselves better than him? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says it. Though he was a son, or the Son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Think of the clear difference between King Saul and King David. Just reference 1 Samuel 15 and 2 Samuel 12. It was justification versus repentance. The priest Samuel stated it well in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Why? Because, you see, the need for sacrifice reveals the presence of sin. God will do what is necessary to transform us. Proverbs 29:1. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God does his sculpting through his established authority structures. Again, obedience. I want us to take a few moments here and consider six areas of authority in our lives. To do this effectively, an important principle must be grasped. Proverbs 21, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his hearts." God judges our plans and what we do, but he has all the authorities in his hands, and he uses them as he chooses to guide our lives. And there are six areas of authority that we need to obey. We need to be obedient to God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Jesus in John chapter 5, in verse 30, he testified, "I can do nothing of myself. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So be obedient to God. Be obedient to your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Jesus stopped teaching in the temple to return home with his parents in Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So be obedient to God. Be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to your conscience. Romans 13:5. "Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." Jesus demonstrated this by putting aside his rightful glory to go to the cross. Philippians 2:8. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So be obedient to your conscience. Be obedient to your church elders. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. "Obey those who are over you, who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." Jesus explained obedience but often had to obey God's higher law due to the corruption of the religious system. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 to 14, "And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. And then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. And then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him." And then number 5, be obedient to civil authorities. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Jesus submitted to Pilate and reminded him where his power came from. In John 19 and verse 11, Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. And then 6th, be obedient to your employer. Colossians 3:22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Listen, Jesus was a carpenter and would have been obedient to his teacher as an apprentice. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. An important principle: whom should we obey when our authorities disagree? We must review the jurisdiction of each authority and obey the higher, but only if a clear disagreement exists, not because of our preference. Disagreement will happen sometimes. Suffering is not a valid excuse. Violation of a higher law is. Training and discipline are the goal, not comfort and convenience. How we respond to a visual authority will affect how we respond eventually to an invisible God. You think about all that, and you have a great day.